Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, we're getting ready to set up right now. So.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday. August 11th, 2020. And I'm your host, as usual, for today, the Miracle Man. I'm so glad that you could join us wherever you are broadcasting from. My hope is that you've come ready to receive everything that God has for you. Do you see my headphones by chance at all?
I'm looking for them.
But we're so glad you could, like I said, wherever you are, however you are tuning in, we're so glad that you could tune in, like I said, wherever, however. What matters is that you're tuning in and that you're ready to receive tonight whatever it is that God has for you. As that is my hope for you tonight, that you receive whatever it is that God has for you. It's like the word says, it's not what I will, but what you will. No, they go into, no, it goes into. Made the determination, like I said, to be a part, and I know that God has plans in store for you beyond what you could ask or think, and tonight, when we get into the Word, in a little while, I'm going to talk to you about this. You have to decide whose side you're on. I'm not talking about a voting side. Nope. I am talking about you're going to be on a side of the side of the Lord, or are you going to be on the side of the world, the side of the devil? And my text will be from 1 Kings 18, and we'll take a look at that tonight as we, a bit later. I want to remind you that now, voting. I want to encourage you to vote and vote Christian first and foremost. Vote based on the Constitution. Don't just vote based on your pocketbook, how your pocketbook may be right now. You want to vote based on who will best hold up the Constitution in the way that it was meant to be, and you'll find, and that you'll vote that way up and down the ballot. I know in some states they've already had their primary. In other states, the primary is about to take place. I know in my state here in Michigan it already took place, but some other states, like Florida, for example, it'll be in a week. Some others, it'll be around that time. And also, they give you the option to vote by mail if you don't live in a non-vote, if you don't live in a vote by mail state, like one of those states where it's all vote by mail. I would encourage you not to vote by mail. Vote in person if you can. There are chances that there could be fraud involved. I reminded you last week about how I've heard of stories in Michigan where people who had not lived in a certain house since 1996, 25 years ago, and an address, and it went to their address. The address went to someone at their house had a form in Michigan, in this state. They had a form that they could have filled out for someone who lived there at that house in 1996, and they could have registered and voted in that person's name. Isn't that scary? That means that you could vote not only for yourself, but you could vote for those who lived in there in the 90s. So that means that you could have voted like two, three, five plus times. What if eight different families have lived there since 96, for example? You could have voted all eight times. And it's not supposed to work that way. It's supposed to be one person, one vote. Not one, because imagine that place, say, moved to Georgia, and we'll just say Georgia is a state where you maybe couldn't vote by mail. We'll just say, for example, in November. So we'll just say this person, and in Michigan, they've sent everyone these applications to vote. What we'll just say, you know, the person tries to go vote in Georgia, but when they get there, we'll just say it turns out that they can't vote because someone else voted in their name. Wouldn't that be what would happen? That's probably what would happen, wouldn't it, Charles? I feel like that's what would happen, wouldn't it? Like, we'll say the person from up here voted using that person's name because of they got that certain mail thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy. That would probably be
what would be discovered when the person who now lives in Georgia tried to vote there, wouldn't it? And all I came up with is, I'm not saying this really has happened. I just used Georgia as an example because people, a lot of times, more often than not, I feel like when they leave Michigan to go to another state, a lot of times they go to the South. So that's why I said, for example, Georgia. Yep, that's why I said Georgia. So that's just something to think about. That's why voting in person, listeners, is the way to go if you live in a state where you have both options. And I know with the pandemic going on, I'm not going to call it a pandemic anymore because it's a plandemic. If it was a pandemic, you'd have millions of people dead around the world. We're not there yet. But is it planned? Yes. That's why I still call it a plandemic, but not a pandemic, because it's been planned. It's been planned for back to 2006. I am not going to use that showtime to get into all the ins and outs of all this. I'm not going to the different things, you know, and I'm not going to take up show time. I'm not going to take up show tonight to do that. You can go read it for yourself. There's good people who have wrote books about it. I did not write the books. I did not ask for permission to say what their books are and that, but you can go find them out for yourself, who they are, what their books are, and read up and learn what there is to know about it. The stuff that CNN, ABC, MSDNC, and CBS will not tell you. And some of you might say, speaking of the DNC, did you hear what happened today? Yes, but not going to get into all of that tonight. Besides that, this first and foremost is to be a show where we talk about God. And if we don't, it's meant to be more so sports, entertainment, stuff like that. And not as much politics, even though I'm sure I could be a good talk show host and deal with things, and maybe I could show people that way. But that's not what God's called me to right now, the way I look at it. And that's why I'm not going to spend all show tonight on politics. You say, and whenever I do talk about it, even about the virus, when I tell you stuff, it's stuff that CNN and the others won't tell you. Because that's how I roll here. That's how the Miracle Man rolls. And so that is what it is. I wanted to remind you also, you're a guy, and maybe you need your hair cut. Maybe you still haven't gotten your hair cut at all since March. If you haven't gotten your hair cut since March, your hair probably needs an altar call by now. Maybe not so much the ladies, but the guys for sure. Okay, maybe not that, but needs to be trimmed and kind of brought into submission. And a great place to go get your hair cut, your hair trimmed, to go get a haircut is at the Man's Cave in Midland, near the Circle. Very nice ladies. All the barbers are very nice ladies. I love to go in there about every 5, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. Go in there and get my haircut. Normally, not right now, but normally they'll give you a hot towel to the face after your haircut, and then they'll shampoo your hair for you. And you can get the haircut for just the low price of $12. It's not even, so it's not a bad deal. Go in there, get your haircut. For $12, they got sports commentators on TV. It's made for guys. That's why it's called the Man's Cave. It's not that salon that tries to be for everybody, like your Regis or whatever, or something like that. Nope. So the Man's Cave in Midland, give them a try. I've never mentioned them on the show. And when I mention certain places on my show or try to endorse their stuff, I always make sure that it's one that I've actually been to. As I discussed yesterday about a place that just opened a couple days ago that I was excited about, it, but I haven't even been to it yet. A certain place in Saginaw Mall Food Court. But I'm not endorsing it yet. Because really, you're not supposed to, by law, you're not supposed to endorse something like that on a show if you haven't had the stuff yet. You've heard that before, haven't you? That really, you're not supposed to do that. Which is why I'm not doing that. Once I've been there, I can do that. But since I haven't, I'm not. And I know, even though it's online, it's not necessarily censored like the way FCC does, you know, regular radio. Still try to be as legal as I know how to be. So that's why I don't come on here and endorse businesses, try to say that it's brought to you by a certain place that I haven't even been to yet. But the Man Cave I have, I recommend it. Walk-ins are always welcome, even now. My hair doesn't really go haywire, but sometimes it'll get kind of long. About time to get a Man's Cave back into submission. And have it taken back into the shop. All right. Also, want to remind you, on these dog days of summer, you can go to your local McDonald's and grab yourself an any size Coca-Cola for the low price of just $1, any size. And it's always the simple joy of summer at McDonald's, you know, when it's summer, or you can pick up in this area a large fry for $1 using the app deals. That's one of the deal options. Once a week through August 30th. Can't believe we're getting close to halfway through August. The summer basically flew, like I was saying it really did. I wish it didn't go by as fast as it has, but it did. Really did. And I hope without a virus. I didn't say a virus, I said a virus. a virus and no masks because New Year's Eve, if the masks are still around, I hope they're not. If they are, I murdered it, made a determination that if this is my only mask left still at New Year's, guess what I'm doing with it? Burning it. That at least the first day of the new year, if they're still doing the masks, at least the first couple of days, I don't care. I'm not wearing a mask. So when I do that thing, the end of the year, things I'm leaving behind in 2020, one of the things that's already going on my list, if we're still doing them, mask in caps lock letters. And I'd be, of course, yelling at it, you know, well, we're lighting it on fire, but like, it's time for you to feel the fire, meaning for the mask to feel the fire, you know? Right there at midnight, and hope that the fabric just burns. Is fabric flammable? Does that mean it just makes it burn even quicker? But what if it's below zero? That wouldn't make a difference, I would hope. Would it still burn? What would happen if you threw it in the fireplace? Nope. But then you could light something else on fire, couldn't you? By that I mean stuff that shouldn't be lit. Which is exactly why I won't be doing it that way. If it's below zero, I guess I'll have to think of a different way to dispose of it. Via fire, I mean. But I wouldn't know how, you know what I mean? In that case, because at some point, these things got to go. And you listeners, I might have not mentioned this to you listeners, but at my birthday party, we actually, different people handed my dad backup masks, and my dad put them in fireworks so that it and the firework would both explode. While I was doing it, I was going after, you know, Fauci, Whitmer, Burks, as well as Redfield. Redfield, the leader of the CDC. People might say, what about Tom Friedman? He hasn't always been good. Well, here's the thing. He's not in that active role now. Like, even on my birthday, where I've done it, or I've jokingly made fun of these certain people or whatever, it's only after people that are active in that field that I'll do it for, you know. It's only them. Because you say, Miracle Man, why are you doing this? Well, here's the thing. All these doctors who claim to be geniuses, Fauci, example, hasn't done surgery in many, 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 many years. They've mocked the Holy Ghost. They've mocked communion. They've mocked the Word of God. They've mocked the church. They've mocked Psalm 91. And basically, it's like trying to make it sound like it doesn't work. That's why, all those who tried to tear down, shut down the church, try to make everybody shut up and do it, they tell you, nope, nope, nope. That's why I've been saying. Let me just check the time. So, like I said, I was just checking the times. Also, I want to remind you real quick. First of all, the plan. So, you know, remind you of the homework assignments. And, of course, we're going to sing. We're going to go into the Word of the Lord. And then I'm going to discuss with you the Big Ten did make that certain announcement that we talked about. Them and the Pac-12. I'm not going to tell the listeners exactly what it's about because then they might tune it out. we'll be discussing that again tonight in sports later on. And what my opinion of it is, being that announcement has been made, and what's next going forward. And so, basically, that is a plan for tonight. Homework assignment, as I try to remind you, listeners, of this assignment, of these assignments. But first, I want to remind you of our book. Rivers of Miracles. My mom was directed by God to write a book about me, about everything that he's done in my life and the journeys that I went through in my life. By the journeys, I mean like the battles that I faced and won and winning over. And it's called Rivers of Miracles. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com, river with an I, riversofmiracles.com, to find out more information about the book, to purchase the book. Obviously, we're believing to sell as many copies as possible. And I'm believing, God, that you'll be blessed as you read the book. And you'll be able to know more about me when you read it. And you'll understand even more so how great God is and it's just awesome. Homework assignment, I want to remind you. I try to remind you of this every day that I do a show. And that is, every day, read Psalm 23. I want to bring your attention to the part that says, though I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You're my comfort. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He leads me through paths of righteousness. You know, in all the various parts of that Psalm 23. And when God's on our side, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be like a coward and be all afraid and think, I'm going to die of this virus. Or I'm going to go to church and die. You're not going to die at church. You get healed at church. You're not going to go to the house of God and die. Miraculous signs. Miracles of Jesus have taken place at my church and in its members, including myself. So any idea that you may have, oh, I'm going to die at church. No, you're not. No, you're not. Not one member of my church has tested positive. When we had that Invasion Youth Conference 3 weeks ago now, of the kids that were tracked down, not one of them caught COVID since the conference. Not one of those 300 kids make it 350 or so. Or so if you include all the leaders, so basically we've had like 850 people that we may have had come through in the course of since we opened it back up. We have not one case in 850 people. So I don't want to hear this thing about, oh, I'm going to die when I go to church. Not one of them caught COVID, let alone died of it. You get healed at church. You don't die. You get healed at church. Amen. I just felt that. I was sorry about that. I just felt the Lord just tugging at my spirit. That's why I dealt with that for a second. Sometimes you just got to go with the flow. If God's trying to show you something or you just feel something tugging at your spirit, you just got to roll with it. Amen. But like I said, read Psalm 23 out loud so your family can hear it. Remember, we're reading Psalm 91 every day. No evil shall befall us. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling, because he's given his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. And then at noon, or whatever your alarm does, or maybe you just remember for noon, pray for curse the virus, bless the Lord. And this one is really important. We have to curse the virus. We have to come stand against the plan of the enemy, because let me just say this real quick. I'll just say this real quick. Discuss it maybe real quick. Then we're going to sing and go to the Word of the God, Word of the Lord. Your mandatory mask is to get you ready to get in line to take your mandatory vaccine. Your mandatory mask is to test you to see if you will take your mandatory vaccine. And if in this country we go to mandatory vaccines, here's the thing. It'll be a cold day in hell with the devil singing Frosty the Snowman. Exactly. The way it should be is you want to take the vaccine, take it. If not, don't. That's why we have to curse not only the virus, but we have to come against this plan of the enemy that they have, and that God just throw the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariot. And that he just dismantles the plan of the wicked. Because they have a plan. But the devil's a loser and a wimp and a thief, but God is able. So every day at noon, we're taking authority, cursing the virus, blessing the name of the Lord. We're not just cursing the virus, we're cursing this plan of the enemy. Because there is more to it than just a virus. And there was the riots and all this other stuff. And in other words, we live in the last days. You don't want to curse the fact that you're in the last days, but you got to curse the plan of the enemy, because there's things that God wants us to do to climax the ages. Amen. Now, as I said, we're going to sing. Then we're going to go to the word of the Lord tonight. So as I said here, this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. Ooh. And I'm lost without you. Mm-hmm. And I'm desperate for you, and I'm lost without you. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. Ooh. And I'm lost without you. And I'm desperate for you. Ooh. And I'm lost without you. Ooh. Let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, the wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. Holy Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, the wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. We have decided to go all the way with our God. Revival in the land, that's our goal. And so today his army will fight with heart and soul. Oh, Holy Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, the wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. We have decided to go all the way with our God. Revival in the land, that's our goal. And so today his army will fight with heart and soul. Blood and fire, we call upon blood and fire, a stream flowing strong, blowing from heaven. Blood and fire, we call upon blood and fire, a stream blowing strong, a stream flowing strong, flowing from heaven. Holy Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, the wind blowing strong, flowing from heaven. So to yourselves in righteousness, break up the fire of the ground. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes and reigns. His righteousness, call upon him. A mighty rain and a mighty wind. A mighty rain and a mighty wind. He's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. A mighty rain and a mighty wind. A mighty rain and a mighty wind. He's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. Lord, we've heard of your mighty work. We stand upon you alone. Revive the Israelites. Now is time to make them known. A mighty wave and a mighty wind. A mighty wave and a mighty wind. He's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. Oh, a mighty wave and a mighty wind. A mighty wave and a mighty wind. He's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. So to yourself in righteousness, break up the foul ground. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes and reigns. His righteousness, call upon him, a mighty wave and a mighty wind. A mighty wave and a mighty wind. He's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. A mighty wave and a mighty wind. A mighty wave and a mighty wind. He's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come before you tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're coming from heaven. You are raising up your people again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're there with us. You are. You're such a great God to us. I thank you, Lord God, for these listeners that have tuned in tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that they receive everything you have for them tonight, and that you meet all their needs that they may have, every need represented by these listeners. Thank you, Lord, that you meet every need represented by all of these wonderful people. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' name. And I make my confession over this program tonight. I thank you that sponsors and partners are coming into this program. I thank you that finances are coming to this program, that increases in listenership are coming into this program. Most important of all, I thank you for that great harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. There's two sounds. I've always heard that there's two sounds that a pastor or a Bible teacher loves to hear. They are pages turning and checks being ripped out of checkbooks. That's a funny one, isn't it? And listeners, you can thank Dr. Mark P. Barclay for that. I can thank my pastor for it. And I think it's pretty funny. He used to use that line. He hasn't used it in a lot of years. I think it's funny. That's why I use it. One Kings 18. And I'm calling this, choose which side you're on. Choose whose side you're on and stay there. I purposely moved back a few pages. Wait a minute. Nope. I just wanted to level the playing field. That's all. But I couldn't purposely be there before everyone else was. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of his place. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. And while Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves. 50 in each. And he had supplied them with food and water. Ahab had the Obadiah go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive so we will not have to kill any of our animals. So they divided the land that they had discovered, Ahab going in one direction, Obadiah in another. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground, and said, "Is it really you, my lord, Elijah?" "Yes," he replied. "Go tell your master. Elijah is here." "What have I done wrong?" asked Obadiah, "that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death. As surely as the Lord your God lives, there's not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear to you that you could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' I do not know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, had worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each cave, and I supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here. He will kill me.' And Elijah said, 'As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today.'" Elijah, in verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have You have abandoned the Lord's commands, and you have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asheroth who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets to Mount Carmel. And Elijah went before the people and he said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." That's very important. I'm going to come back to that. But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces. And put on the word on the wood, but not set fire to it." So you have the other bull, and dust shall be on wood, but not set fire to it. Then they shall walk on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God whose ancestors are. He is God. Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God. Do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. "Oh, Baal!" "Answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder! He said, "Surely he thought that he was busy or traveling. Maybe first just be awakened." So they shouted louder and they slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one from each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." And the stones he built, with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 sofas of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bowl into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." And he said, "Do it again." They did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered. And they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and he prayed, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell, and he burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let anyone get away." They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat, and he drank. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant. And he went up and looked. "There's nothing there," he said. 7 times Elijah said, "Go back." The 7th time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot. Go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. All right. Let's talk about this. So, where the chapter starts, there's a famine in the land because it had not rained in 3.5 years. It had not rained for 3.5 years because of the events in the previous chapter. And Elijah was, first he had to drink from the brook. Then God used, he had him stay in someone's house. And because Elijah did a certain thing with the Shunammite, he was able to have food. But then, later on, in chapter 18, people of Israel are, they all come complete with, along with the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah, they all come to the let me just check my time. They all come to the top of Mount Carmel. I didn't say Caramel. No, it's not the Mountain of Sweets. I'd love to sit there and think it was the Mountain of Sweets. I'd love that. In which case, in heaven, I'd be like, this is my mountain. Hey, sweet fire, come and just in my mouth, ice fire, which would be like ice cream mixed with like sweet fire. That'd be different, wouldn't it? I'd be like, that's not what it is. It's just the name of a mountain. But the first thing he says, he tells all the Israelites, how long will you waver? How long are you going to sit there and keep changing your opinion? How long are you going to keep continuing to sit there and choose who's greater? The God of heaven or your Baals and your Astaroths? We all have to make a choice, listeners, and decide for ourselves. Who's our God? Is it the Lord, or is it something else in your life? Is it something else? Is it someone else? Is it your children? Is it your music? Is it your job? Is it your sport? Is it your, what is, or are you mixed? Or are you a double agent? One foot in the world, one foot in the church. And be like Judas. We have two different set vocabularies, two different sets of friends, two different, just two of everything. Is that you? I hope not. Today is not the day to be teeter-tottering. Today is not the day to be teeter-tottering. We live in a very serious day. This is the last of the last days with everything we got going on right now in America in November. This is going to be like the Elijah Jezebel showdown. Exactly. It's going to be the Elijah Jezebel showdown. And we got, and if the wrong people get elected, America as we know it is done. We got the right people in, we'll at least have a window. A window in which we'll be able to have some more freedom in that. And I hope you learned in 2018. Hope you're learning, even now, I hope you're learning your lesson when it comes to how important your vote is. And I'm not just talking about the vote. I'm talking about in your own life. Who's your number one? And if you keep wavering, why are you wavering? So the people sit there, so the people are told by Elijah, sit there, pray to your God. You know, sit there and call to him, just shout. I mean, just talk to him, pray to him, call to him. You know, just call for him to come and call your Baals and your Astrals to come and, you know, and be there for you. No answer. Then he said, well, then at noon he said, louder! They did it again. And by then, some of them hadn't had breakfast. Some of them were wanting Chick-fil-A, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Steak and Shake. None of them probably packed a lunch. They probably all wanted to go get some fast food or maybe go to Cracker Barrel to eat. But he said, nope. There is, but nope, they didn't get to do that. Oh, by the way, who am I fooling? That stuff wasn't available back then. They didn't, because you were going to say, I don't think they had those restaurants yet back then, did they? They didn't have them. But they're all sitting there like they're all, and they're crying out to their gods. Nothing. Then he tells them, to fill jugs with water, fill all those things with water. And then all the water got into the trench that Elijah had dug. And then Elijah called to the Lord to send down fire from heaven. The fire came and engulfed all that. It even took out the water from that trench. And the Israelites got down and they cried and they realized the Lord is God. They realized that they had lost track. They realized that they had went astray. They realized that they had wavered, letting these other gods, letting these other things get in there and be their God. And they realized that they couldn't be wavering anymore, changing their opinion, or it being this mixed bag, one foot world, one foot church. They couldn't be, you know, all world or nope. They realized that they had to repent for having something else in front of God. And they had to repent. And what the whole water thing was about the sacrifice that they had to make, because back in the Old Testament they had to make sacrifices. But this isn't a time to waver in well doing. You know, to do good and you're not doing it, you're sinning. So you have to be doing what God has called you to do. You can't just sit there and be all Happy go lucky, hunky dory, la 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 la, and be all hunky dory. Nope. It's not how it works. Nope. You gotta choose this day who you're gonna serve. You're gonna choose to serve the Lord, or you're gonna choose this other thing. I choose the Lord. I think of that verse that said, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. And so I read this tonight, thought of this tonight to challenge you, to just challenge you. Make sure your priorities are right with God and that you don't have something else in front of God. If you have something else in front of God, or if you're a double agent, then you need to get that fixed. That Revelation verse is coming to me right now. I would that you were cold or hot, but because you were lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. And it talks about because you were neither cold nor hot. And he said, I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm. Well, you know, if there's five levels and you're ultimately, we'll say there's six because we'll say you're at level zero. Level zero is like, I don't know where I'm at. I'm not doing anything for him at all, or I'm not. Well, if you say that's level one, then it's like, then it's, we'll say there's level one. We'll just say there's five. You don't want to be level four. You don't want to be level 4.5. You get on level four, you're getting close to lukewarm. And God said, I would that you were cold or hot. God wants you on fire, not ice cold, not lukewarm. Nope. He wants you on fire for him. And if you are doing, and if you're doing the double agent thing, one foot here, one foot in God, one foot otherwise, that means that in God's eyes, you're like lukewarm. And God doesn't want you to be doing that. And this is not the time to be teeter-tottering, in for a while, out for a while, in for a while, out for a while. It'd be moving up and down like the kids on the swing set. You know, nope. You're supposed to be on fire for God and doing what God's called you to do. Now, Lord God, I thank you tonight for this word. I thank you that these listeners would get it in their hearts, and they would realize how serious this day is and how important it really is that these listeners would choose to live for God, that they wouldn't just sit there and waver and wonder, and that they would decide that this is serious. And I just thank you that we are doers of this word and not hearers only. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Well, in terms of sports, the Big Ten has made the announcement that they are canceling their traditional fall season. They have announced that they will be trying to play again in spring. They have not said what the spring schedule would look like, I would assume they would want it to be like 9 or 10 games. I think they need to try to play in the spring. I think that, but then my question would become, what happens about August? What happens with August becomes my thing. Of August, September. Then what do you do? Because to me it seems weird that they would not play in the fall. But apparently the SEC is still looking right now like they're looking to play. And I hope the SEC does. I think the SEC needs to play. And I really hope they do. That's my ultimate hope, is that they will decide to play. The Pac-12 has also made this announcement, as has the MAC, Mid-America Conference. Also, the Mid-Atlantic Conference has made the determination that they also have canceled their fall football season along with other fall sports. What will the MHSAA do? I don't know. In my mind, I'd rather them play in the fall. I think we need to have our stadiums open full. I think the band needs to be there, to be honest with you. And I think with all of this, they totally blew it out of proportion, completely, utterly. So the Tigers, they are in the middle of a series, and I will be listening to the Tigers right after I call it a night here on the broadcast. As right now, they're not doing too bad. Not too bad. Basketball and hockey seem to be doing good in their bubbles. And I will say this, even those leagues have went too far. Telling them they can't go nowhere. And I think this whole thing was completely overhyped. Some things about this whole thing could have been done very differently. And I'm speaking of it from a sports standpoint, an educational standpoint, a retail standpoint, everything. That this whole thing was completely mismanaged. Completely. And when it comes to the sport, it's time to open up these stadiums completely, all the way. In the case of high school and college football, it's time to get these bands back out. And time to get at it. It's been too long. All right, folks, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.